Phoenix Suns, we said that there's four games they must win. Non-negotiable, must win these games. A game against the 76ers without Joel Embiid. A game against the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young. And then two against the Spurs, the lowly Spurs. 15 wins on the season. They're 15 and 56 entering tonight. We TCO beat on Saturday. I wasn't here. Shout out to Matthew. Shout out to Suns Geek for holding it down in my absence. So the Suns have to play them again. And Matthew, the fucking Suns lose. How do I get the game where the Suns lose to the Spurs again? I've watched three games this season, and they've lost to the Spurs every goddamn time.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know how that works out, but I don't know. I'm kind of glad I missed most of this one. Not going to lie. I don't even know. I just plugged in my light. Just, hey, Jamsters, just in case. Oh, there it is. Fuck this team. I'm so done. I hate being so grumpy coming on the pod, just not wanting to even talk about it. It just gets old. And then you have the whole, I heard, you know, on the radio that Bradley Beal, there's a hand injury too. So,
Oh, yeah.
Here we we'll go, get to man. That. 10 games
and
left.
And Nurk's hurt.
Yeah, hurry up. I hope the Rockets kind of overtake us in the standings. Is that possible? Can the Golden State Warriors stay and then we get kicked out? Let's do that.
What's the point? This is why the Suns can't be taken seriously by anybody. Because anytime you start to feel a little bit good about this team and the way that they're executing, the way that they're playing on offense and defense, and some of the fluidity that's happening in the offense, they go out and they lack the hustle and grit to beat the fucking Spurs. The Spurs did the same thing tonight that they did to them back in October and November. They just out-hustled them. We make a layup, they're coming right back down, and they're going to beat us with their youth and their speed. And it's exactly what we saw. And the Suns are just sitting there like, oh, shit, did they just make another fucking layup? Like, they don't even try to play defense sometimes. So, we're going to navigate a lot of emotions here tonight, Jamsters. And to top it off, we're going to bring a Spurs fan on the podcast today. Yes, one of my good friends, Spurs fan Ryan, will be joining us to talk about this game. That lucky bastard gets to talk about a win. I'm so frustrated. So subscribe, rate, review, give us a thumbs up, do whatever the fuck you want. Pop them if you got them, because I am. I'm drinking a fucking Coors Light. I'm going to slam this shit like I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin tonight, okay? Let's get crazy. For 102, the fucking Suns lose, because fuck us, right? We're the Phoenix Suns, and we cannot beat the San Antonio Spurs. And on that note, I welcome for the first time ever on the podcast with Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan's jerseys residing behind him, Spurs fan Ryan. How you feeling, you lucky son of a bitch?
I love it. I love it. I love you guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Actually, before we begin, I want to be all serious about something. Shout out to Dave King. You know, late great Dave King. I love that guy for real, real talk.
Amen.
And he's rolling over in his grave right now because I used to talk shit about the Spurs beating the Suns all the time, and it's happening still after he's gone. No, for real. I love you, Dave.
Yeah. You know what? If Dave was on the podcast right now, you know what he'd say?
Fuck. That's exactly what I remember him saying to me. I love the guy. Man, I don't know what to tell you guys. I was talking to John earlier about this. The Spurs are just one of those teams. They're just gritty. They're a bunch of guys that are trying to make NBA rosters or stay on NBA rosters. They have maybe three NBA players that are like starters on teams. And so, you know, it's a fun team to watch that way. But when I watch the Suns play, it's the opposite. They're like a bunch of dudes that stand around and like kind of expect to get the calls or expect that their greatness is going to carry them. And they don't actually put the hustle in. Kevin Durant, big time, man. A couple times tonight, he just kind of like looked, I side-eyed the ref, and then Spurs are running back the other way to get a dunk. You know, it's as a basketball fan first, it's tough to watch sometimes for real.
And it's nice to, it's almost like a full subreddit stakeout having Ryan on, because, you know, ultimately you're going to give us some of that perception from the outside looking in on what you've seen from this team. And it was a challenge that we definitely felt tonight, the lack of hustle, the lack of grit, and some adjustments that needed to occur for the Suns. Obviously, Yusuf Nurkic gets hurt in the second quarter. Bradley Beal gets hurt at the end of the game, both coming at the hands of Jeremy Sochan, So-Khan, So-What. I mean, the guy goes for 26 points and 18 rebounds. So I guess this is going to be my first question. It's not going to be for Matthew. It'll be for Ryan.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Ryan, I got to ask, what is it like supporting a player who goes out and actively injures other players, a la Bruce Bowen once upon a time?
Hey.
Is that irresponsible?
You mean world champion Bruce Bowen, all right?
And also world champion of kicking people in the nuts.
Hey, look, Sohan is one of those guys that just is all hustle, man. He's a guy who's made his career coming up from Baylor, right? And he was a guy that was a high energy hustle guy, does all the intangible stuff, glue guy. He's the kind of guy every team needs and wants. The Suns could use a guy like him to get him back in. I mean, they kind of got Royce O'Neal. He kind of does that a little bit, but maybe not to the same kind of level. I mean, but also he's just the kind of guy that, like, his free throw shooting, I think, is the perfect example, right? He's a 40% free throw shooter, shooting normal. He's terrible. Pop tells him, hey, your form is good. It's your guide hand, apparently. Let's just shoot one-handed. And he's humble enough to be like, whatever it takes, right? Mm-hmm. And he does, he puts in the effort. And so, you know, I can't tell you, I know you guys want to hate on him, but man, he should not have gotten 18 rebounds tonight or whatever it was against you guys. I'm going to be honest, I don't ever bet his line that high because he don't do that. And so I don't know what to tell you. It's just we own the Suns. That's really what it comes down to, is we own the Suns. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, man, it's you know, the we own the Suns thing, it's funny because in a season where you think the Suns would have the winning record through one season, being with Victor Wembanyama, and his rookie season, the Suns should like go 4-0 against them, right? So we lost the season series 3-1.
Yeah,
we're not gonna do shit in the playoffs. Wembanyama's gonna get maybe a star next to him next year. Who knows what that team's gonna look like next year? They play better with that Wembanyama, I heard on the radio. So all things are pointing in the Spurs' favor if you're looking at this matchup heading down the road. We're probably going down south, and here come the Spurs again. So we had our chance to win a title. We had a chance to win one before the Spurs got back on track. It's too late. It's a little too late. And yes, it would be nice to have Sohan on our team, someone that hustles. Well, he might be a guy that injures somebody, but the Suns are old and slow. Like, I just feel like we're just injury prone. So if we're playing against these hard hustling teams, it's going to happen. So, disappointing, man. I'm not sure why we have a Spurs fan on the pod, but you know what? We're still getting the views, and it's fine. Everyone's hating in the chat, so I guess we're all getting along.
Well, I was expecting to win, and I wanted to learn a little bit about what it's like to be a Spurs fan through the eyes of a Spurs fan in a season in which the Suns are clearly better than them. But unfortunately, the Suns did what the Suns do, and they don't execute any narrative that you want them to do this season. You have a big three. We're not going to be dominant throughout the season or healthy. You have Devin Booker. He's not going to go out there and play defense half the time. You've got Kevin Durant. He's not going to lead. You got Bradley Beal. He's not going to stay healthy. You got Yusuf Nurkic. He's not going to box out when you need him to or be available when you need him to at the end of these games. And the frustrating thing, as you mentioned, Matthew, is this is one of those few times where, and I've gone back on this before, the Spurs are the team that I hate the most. And people will say in the chat, if you talk about overall rivalries, the Lakers are always number one, right? But we've had success in the past against the Lakers. And I know that when I brought this up last summer, some of our readers at Brightside, some of our listeners here at the Suns Jam Session said, why do you care about the Spurs now? They haven't done anything in years. They haven't hurt our feelings in quite some time. And I said, these scars run deep. You go back to the times in which we had valid runs and valid opportunities to go and win an NBA championship in my early 20s when we were going to the bars and we would have a good time. And that's what you did back into April and May and hopefully into June, was go and hang out with your friends and drink and get to know people you never knew while your team is playing NBA basketball. But it always ended in heartbreak because you'd run into a buzzsaw like the Spurs, who eliminated us from the playoffs three different times. So there's an emotional baggage there that I will always carry. And the Spurs are a team that we only beat once in the playoffs, and that's when we swept them in 2010. And go figure, that's the year the Lakers beat us. So I will always, number one in my heart, for multiple reasons, for their ugly color scheme and just black and silver and, you know, I mean, like wannabe Raiders, for their funny looking U that that so elegantly fits perfectly in the middle of the word Spurs, I will hold a grudge against the experiences, because Ryan's the same age as me. I will hold a grudge against the experiences that Ryan got to experience in his 20s, when he got to go to bars and drink and watch the Spurs and then watch them win. Like, what did that feel like, Ryan? What did it feel like to win? Tell me more. Because you did it again tonight, motherfucker.
Oh, man, it felt glorious. It felt glorious. And it continues to feel glorious. Let me you guys hit you with some knowledge right now. The Spurs have only a winning record against one team this year, the Phoenix Suns. We are the 2023-2024 regular season champs against the Suns. I just want to point that out.
You're 16, on the real you have talk, 16 though, wins, and three of them are against us.
I went to two of those games, just saying. On the real talk, though, to answer your question, like, you know, I think you got to go back further. If you go back into the 90s, right, the Spurs were the Suns. The Spurs were the Suns. The Spurs were good teams every year with David Robinson. We're trying to get over the hump, and we never could. Back then, I was telling John earlier today, man, I'll never forget when Barkley shut down Hemisphere Arena by hitting a 19-footer over David Robinson at the end in the 93 playoffs to close out the arena, literally as we're moving into a new stadium the next year. I mean, that was devastating. That was heartbreaking. I actually saw Barkley once in the casino, and I mentioned, hey, you closed down Hemisphere in 93. He's like, that place is a dump. And I was like, yeah, it was actually.
Yeah, and that shot was dumb as hell. It looked dumb as hell. It was an ugly-looking sure. game-winner shot.
Hey, but he made it, though. It would have been great if Kevin Durant made a dumb-looking shot tonight as the fucking – or Booker.
That's true. So. But after that, I mean, the Spurs couldn't beat the Jazz, right? Every year in the playoffs, we'd lose to the Jazz in a second round. Freaking hated Karl Malone. I hated John Stockton. The way you guys hate these guys behind me, these jerseys behind the way you guys hate them, that's how I felt about the Jazz in the 90s. And then eventually we kind of got past that and we built further, and it helped that we got Tim Duncan, obviously, and Ginobili and those guys. And so, like, you know, the Suns, I feel like, have a roster, but I think they leveraged too much when they gave away everybody for Durant. Like, they gave away too much of the guys that made the Suns versatile. And now they're a little one-dimensional. They're the, you know, the mid-range mafia, guys like to call them. And that's great, but in today's NBA, man, when you need buckets, you need threes, you need to keep pace. I don't know, man. They got good looks tonight at the end there, a couple threes actually, and they didn't make them because they're not high percentage 3-point shoot. Or, well, they are, but they don't shoot high volume, right? They don't shoot a lot of them. And so, you know, I mean, it is a great thing to watch your team win, but we've been bad for the last several years. These things go in cycles. You know, it'll eventually come to the Suns, and I'll be happy for you guys when it does. I'll tip my hat, and I'll be happy.
I think so. Eventually.
I don't think so either.
It's well, let's talk a little bit about the game. Where do you want to start, Matthew?
Let's talk Bol Bol. I'm just joking.
I'll talk Bol Bol.
Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's
Bol Bol, motherfucker. Bol Bol in this game, 8 minutes played, was 0 of 0 from the field, had 2 rebounds. Was a team worst negative 10. And Matthew got his wish, ladies and gentlemen. What has Matthew been saying for quite some time? He's been saying, I'm going to change up the format here because I don't want to see Ginobili or Duncan anymore. Boop. There we go. Look at that. what has Matthew been asking for? Matthew's been asking for Bol Bol at the 5. Well, guess what?
Did it happen tonight?
Yes. And it was part of a 16-0 run for the Spurs. 13 of those occurred when Bol Bol was playing the 5. Now, was he fully responsible for that? No, but it did happen when he was in the game playing the 5 because he didn't know what to do or where to go. And I'm not going to fault Bol Bol for that stretch because that's the stretch that killed the Suns. It was the end of the third, beginning of the fourth. They let the Spurs rattle. I think it was actually a 17-0 run. But Bol Bol was in there for 13 of those points. Was not a good look. And this is something that we have to think about moving forward. Because unfortunately, Nurkalicious got hurt.
Nurkalicious definition make them boys go crazy.
Oh. Nurk only played 19 minutes tonight, but he had 6 points and he had 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 2 blocks and a steal. And he, so essentially on a play, he got denied on one end by Jeremy Suck-a-Dick. What's his name? Jeremy Suck-a-Dick. Jeremy Suck-a-Dick. And then let me check my own notes here on what old Jeremy Suck-a-Dick, Sohan Solo, Loading, littering, and he said, did Jeremy just call Nurkic a dickhead? Yeah. Jeremy called him a dickhead, took the ball from Nurkic, and then Nurkic tripped on his ankle going down, and he was out for the game. And here's what sucks about this. Fucking Suns. This was the easiest game we have left for the entire year, Suns fans, because we have 10 games against the toughest competition remaining, and then we have the playoffs. And Nurkic is now hurt with a sprained ankle. So knowing that Bol Bol can't play the five whatsoever, knowing that Drew Eubanks looks like ass is not helpful. I'm not happy tonight. Matthew?
Well, the whole Bol Bol thing. So we've heard this before. Bol Bol can't play at all, right? That was the beginning of the season. He can't earn any minutes. He can't find himself in the rotation. I thought of him as a starter already within, the last five weeks of the season. I'm like, he should probably be a starter for the Suns, but obviously that's not a thing. He's got a lot of minutes. He came in at the five, looked bad. I see the comments. He sucked. It was probably the worst spurt the Suns have ever played this year with someone at the five as Bol Bol was playing with, what was it, 5 minutes tonight? Sorry. Jamsters, I did not get to watch the whole game. So 8 minutes. Let's keep doing it. Let's see what else, because obviously we have no choice.
Yeah, now's the time. Put him up against Jokic and see what happens.
This is what happens is Bol Bol's, he's doubted a ton this year already, and now he played his first time at the five. I got my wish. It's not always going to go great the first time. Let's keep trying to see where it goes, and I'm excited to see it in the future, and I'm kind of pissed, dude. I missed it tonight.
You and I are very – I am not excited at all to see
16-0 run, though, but let's give it another shot next game and see how it looks.
Against Jokic. Ryan, what did you see from Bol Bol during the short time that he was out there getting cooked by fucking Zach Collins?
I saw the guy that everybody said couldn't play. But strange, because he had been playing well recently. Real quick, shout out to my guy Chosen Saver in the chat saying, go Spurs, go. We own the Suns. I don't know, man. Suns fans are infiltrating your podcast. You know, I don't know what's happening. Whatever. Here.
Get a life, Spurs fans.
Honestly.
Go to your Spurs podcasts. Pound the rock.
Bull. I feel like this is the time. Like Matthew said, I think he's going to have to play Joker in a couple days here. And, you know, nobody looks good against Joker, but that's fine, man. Put him out there and see what Jokic he can
does.
Do.
Or, I mean, see if he Nurkic can does.
Make a difference, cause a difference, you know? So let's, honestly, today, he was a non-factor. I barely even remembered him playing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's because he was very forgettable out there. And that's not to say that.
You know, I know the chat is crushing Eubanks right now. I felt like, other than, you know, him getting our guys going at him and, you know, attacking him, I felt like, you know, he played okay. He didn't turn the ball over much. He doesn't look to score. That's a problem for you guys because you need him to get layups and stuff like that. But outside of that, you know, he got some boards. I'm looking at the stats here. I think he had, six boards, four assists. You know, that's you kind of want that from him. But I feel like he's still in early season Phoenix mode when they didn't give the ball on the pick and roll to Nurk. And whereas the game's evolved over the season where they do that play, him, Booker, and Nurk and that kind of thing, and Eubanks is not thinking that way at all when he's on the floor. He doesn't look to score at all.
So here's what I'll say about Eubanks. And Vane Stain, great name, in the chat says Eubanks undersized. The thing about Eubanks is he isn't undersized. He is underdeveloped when it comes to technical acumen, if you will. What made Tim Duncan great is the way that he utilized his footwork for positioning and ultimately getting putbacks and things of that nature. Eubanks is very poor in that area. And there's a reason why I think he wears two different color shoes. It's so he remembers which one's his left and which one's his right, because he forgets at times. And that's where his challenge is you notice it when it comes to rebounding. Yeah. He might've ended with a total of six rebounds, but he could have had 10 or 11. He's the one who isn't boxing out properly. He's the one who's not getting in the proper position and allowing Suckadick to get as many rebounds as he wanted. Again, 18 rebounds for Jeremy Suckadick tonight, and that's because Drew Eubanks isn't properly boxing out. The other thing that is very interesting about Eubanks that I found is he is the only player since the All-Star break where these jailhouse rules of basketball, you know, where it's you're allowed to be physical, you're allowed to foul pretty much and not get called for fouls. Drew Eubanks is the only one who that does not apply to. Because in his 21 minutes, he had four fouls. There was three fouls in the entire second quarter. But Drew Eubanks in the game ends with a total of four fouls in 21 minutes played. Only Devin Booker had that many, and he played 40 tonight. So Drew, that's how frustrating because that ends up being drive killers or allows, you know, he had an offensive foul where he missed a screen. So then he tried to overcompensate on the screen and then he overscreened. And then that was called an offensive foul, which counts as a turnover, which we'll definitely talk about tonight. These Suns and their wicked ways when it comes to turnovers. But four personal fouls, he consistently would stick his hand in the cookie jar and get caught for it over and over again. So when you hear people express frustration with Drew Eubanks, Matthew, that's what they're referencing, right? The fact that from a technical standpoint, he just doesn't have a skill set that allows him to kind of get away with anything, if you will.
No, he doesn't, but he goes with the flow of the team. He's a lot like Eric Gordon in a way where he's going to get his numbers, his stats, and his good play from when the team's playing well around him. Like, he can't be put and be like, oh my God, like, we're down. I actually need to do something. I need to actually, you know, score the basket. Like, that's not his thing. They can't go to him on anything, really. There were times in the last few games where they ran plays and he was kind of just in the center of it, running pick and rolls with him and stuff like that. But it's nothing that you want to look forward to as a fan. He will pick up the energy and stuff when things are kind of going smoothly with the offense and defensively. If that's carrying over offensively, then yeah, you'll see that from him. But with Nurkic too being out tonight, not finishing the game, the Suns are now 0-5 with him not finishing a game. That sucks. And I know they were down big early in the game to the Spurs, so it doesn't really have a lot to do with it. But what we saw from Nurk, when he had to replace what we saw from Eubanks when he had to replace Nurk due to injuries, like, he came in the past and he was actually doing a pretty decent job the last few weeks, but this is a lot now that's going to be on his shoulders. So we're going to see how he responds to this and how Bobo, if he is going to play the five, how that's going to look. But there's going to be a lot on Eubanks now, man. And this is the one thing we avoided all year long with Nurkic missing time. And now it's like, our team is still not complete. We still can't beat the Spurs on back-to-back games when it should be a easy victory without Victor Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. And now we have a Nurkless team, and now we have to hear about Beal and his right hand. So there's a lot of shit now that's piling on the Suns that you just don't want to face. And then these guys like Eric Gordon and Drew Eubanks having to step up in the place of these other guys, like, it's going to be big for them, man. And I don't think they can handle it. So it sucks.
So obviously, as we go into these last 10 games, you know, how concerned are you with the fact that we might not be with Yusuf Nurkic? My guess is, and again, I'm not a doctor here, you know, but it didn't look too bad. And my guess is the medical staff's like, yo, we're playing the Spurs. Like, pull Nurkic. We're going to need him on Wednesday against Joker. But if he misses any extended period of time, how bad is that for the Suns, Matthew?
I mean, it's brutal. I mean, I just said we were 0-5 without him finishing games. So the only thing that I'm worried about, of course, at the Jokic game is I want to see him compete against them. The stats are always there for Jokic, no matter who he plays. But you can always see that he stifles the offense of the Nuggets team because it starts with Jokic, obviously. So if he's that big body that can give him some fits, I want to continue to see that as many outings as we can before the playoffs start to see if this is actually a thing, because the Suns do pretty well with him on Jokic. But I mean, missing him, it's going to suck because it kind of regresses the whole team as a whole and just where they kind of have been offensively. I know defensively is like the big thing right now. And tonight, I mean, they held the Spurs to a low amount of points, but it is the Spurs. You know what I mean? So that's kind of been the thing of late. The last four games, the Suns, their defensive rating has gone up. The point totals of the opposition have gone down. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that affects it. But mostly, I think it's just offensively, right? Defensively, it's on the other guys like Bradley Beal and Devin Booker to step up. Kevin Durant's been playing pretty good, but those two guys need to step up in Nurkic's absence and see how Bobo really fits in on the defensive end. I don't even want to see your highlights, actually. I'm excited he played the five, but I want to see highlights of him playing defense.
It wasn't as horrible as I made sound. It wasn't his fault.
Okay, I'll take a
piece. He just happened to be out there when the Suns were allowing the Spurs to kind of do whatever they want. The Suns would go down, they turn the ball over, which was leading to like fast break dunks like they typically do. And then there was one and done, and which led to transition. And there was a couple plays where it's like Bol just didn't know where his defender was at. But at the same time, like, the Spurs didn't take advantage of that. That's when they started chucking up threes and Devin Vassell started going crazy. So how much do you love having Devin Vassell on your team, Ryan? Because he was the guy that I know that both Matthew and I highly coveted in the 2020 draft, you know, the one where we missed out on Tyrese Halliburton and chose Jalen Smith. We wanted Devin Vassell as well.
Oh man, I love Vassell. Like that guy. That guy comes on. He's a work in progress. He's still getting better every game. He's still getting better. But man, he plays hard. Just the other day, the other game, he only had like 8 points or something like that. The last game, and he was terrible shooting that game. But that's the kind of guy that isn't fazed by that. He comes back the next game and has confidence. He took some bad shots tonight. Let's be honest. We should have beat you guys by more. And he was taking bad like threes, and you guys keeping you guys in the game. But real quick, let's talk about them lazy passes by the Suns on the top of the key. There was at least four or five freaking steals by the Spurs just off the for fast break dunks right off the top of the key. And I was like, man, like, is that a Vogel thing? Is that a Suns like don't play thing?
I'll turn that around. Let's talk about your future. You know, with that. Hey, hold on. What about those lazy passes?
Well, I'll tell you this. Every time,
our future is set. We're good. We're building. We're rebuilding.
I know.
I'm happy about it. I got Vassell. I got Wimby. I got Sohan. That's about really all. Everybody else in that team is expendable. I mean, hey, you know, Johnson, he's cool too. But whatever. I don't know. He's might be overpaid a little bit. But that's besides the point. Here, you guys.
Let's talk about how shitty we are. Yeah, let's every time one of those passes happen.
Terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going. Terrible. Take a lap.
So the Suns, 100%. They true to form, 15 turnovers that lead to 17 San Antonio points. I mean, that's just kind of par for the course for this team, is they have a laziness to them that allows, and it's those live ball turnovers. You know, they started the game first quarter, they come out and they only have three turnovers, but those three turnovers lead to 6 points on the next possessions. And then, you know, three turnovers in the second quarter, and then six turnovers in the third quarter. And then they have three that lead to 5 points in the fourth quarter. And it's just, it's this lack of focus, right? And so you ask the question, is it a Frank Vogel thing? It's a lack of accountability by the players on the court. Frank Vogel can tell them that over and over again, right? Like, you've played basketball, you know what it's like. Like, the coach can sit there and say, listen, don't turn the ball over. But you, like, Chris Paul used to get knee deep in people's ass if they were turning the ball over because of what they would do, because they'd put pressure on him defensively and he didn't want to have to do that. You can't do that. It has to come out to the players on the court being responsible. When Devin Booker's like doing like a bounce pass behind him because KD's supposed to come and get it, and like Jeremy Sukadic jumps it and then is dunking on the other side with his stupid yellow shoes, it's just stupid.
So I was thinking go ahead, Matthew. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the last play of the game, basically when Booker, you know, brought the ball down on the fast break. That pass from KD, like just cross court, was almost picked off. Like, that happens all the time to us. So, yeah, continue.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so today I was starting to think about it. I was watching this game, and I was watching Kevin Durant. And, you know, we all know Durant's great, all-time scorer, all-time great player. He even knows that. And he talks about his legacy, I think, more than any active guy currently. And even more than LeBron. LeBron don't even really talk about his legacy. LeBron hits it with, we'll talk about that when my career's over. We'll talk about that when my career's over, right?
And meanwhile, he's got six people videotaping him at all times.
Again, I'm not saying he's not aware of it. I'm just saying he don't talk about it.
Drone following him around.
Kevin Durant has, you know, got the burner accounts, is worried about everything, what everybody says about him. I almost feel like his attitude with the Suns is like, oh, I'm here doing my thing. Fuck all you guys. And it comes into that spreads between the team. And anytime you play any type of team sports, your leaders are the people that you look to. And if their attitude is that way, then you eventually be like, man, fuck this guy. Why should I sacrifice my body for this guy? Why should I play all hard for this guy when he don't do it? You know, and maybe he has ability to turn that switch on. Maybe he's gonna do it in the playoffs. But I personally am one of those people that don't believe that you could just flip a switch.
Agreed.
You have to play that way all the time. And man, Durant, man, it's frustrating to watch because he's so great. And we all know it, but it's like, man, that was a lazy situation there. At one point, I even took a note here. He 10 minutes and 19 seconds left in the game. He got the ball stolen from behind from him, as he was driving at the middle of the Spurs basket. And he just kind of side-eyed the ref while the Spurs, meanwhile, are going back the other way, which ultimately led to a dunk. You know, and it was like, it's one of those things like, dude, play through the whistle. And they're not giving you those calls anymore. Everything's adjusted, and this is how playoff basketball goes. You have to adjust as well and not expect that call. But it's almost like, hey, my greatness deserves this or whatever. I don't know, man. I get that weird vibe from him. It's just strange. I know that there was that him sitting off on the side of the bench. I believe you posted that not too long ago. Like, that is what I'm talking about. Like, and that permeates out. And Booker, unfortunately, and Booker's an amazing player, but he doesn't appear to want to be the leader, right? He doesn't appear to want to be the guy to be like, no, fuck this. Come, I'll take care of this. I'll get in somebody's face. I'll get in Durant's face. I'll get in there. You know what I mean? And the Suns don't have that guy. It's very weird. It's very strange to watch. As somebody who's watched the Spurs for years, like, Pop would get in Duncan's face. Duncan would get in Ginobili's face. Like, you know, they would all talk to each other or whatever. You'd see it. You'd see them as cohesion, trying to play together, trying to work together. And I don't see any of that on the Suns. It's just like a bunch of dudes all playing for themselves and not really playing as a team. Except for maybe Grayson Allen. He's like the one dude. But even him, let's be honest. Like, did somebody tell him, hey, you're about to hit the mid-level max and we don't want to pay you, so we're going to take away your shots? Because homeboy has not shown up lately, ever since really the All-Star break. I mean, I think he had one or two good games, but like.
Oh, no, he's had some good ones in there, good. But just, he only shot the ball five times tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they don't even look for him. Like, run a freaking offensive set for him when you need a shot. The guy's best freaking three-point
shooter. He's the guy who should be shooting that final shot.
Yeah, he was open too, I guess.
He was. Oh. Yeah, he's open. It's like, shoot the ball and then crash the boards and get the rebound and put it in, you know, for a tie or to tie the game. But, you know, Booker's got to hit like a fadeaway 23-footer off of his left foot instead of giving Grayson Allen, who's like standing there wide open. He's like, well, fuck, I'll just go back to my locker and do my taxes.
Also, let's talk about that for a second. Booker was killing the Spurs in the paint. He was killing them by driving to the basket. Like, all of a sudden, though, late in the fourth quarter, he's starting to take jump shots and three-pointers. It's like, bro, just attack the basket. Get fouled. Or go, you know, go hard. It's weird to watch, man. And that, I think, is a Vogel thing. Like, freaking call timeout and tell him to attack. But I don't know, man. Like I said, it's strange. It's strange.
That brings up a good point.
Big Dick Booker.
Devin Booker definitely showed up in this game. He 36 points on 14 to 28 shooting. He was 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds. He had 4 assists, 3 blocks. He had a steal as well. He did have 5 turnovers, which obviously doesn't help. You know, we were talking about KD turning the ball over. Devin Booker was turning the ball over more than KD in this one. But it was Devin Booker who kind of put the team on his back in that fourth quarter. He ends that fourth quarter shooting 7 of 10 from the field, has 18 points in the fourth. At one point, had 11 consecutive points for Phoenix, literally put him on the back, 2 assists. So, I mean, he accounted for 22 of the Suns, 28 points in the fourth. But the challenge that I have with Devin Booker, and it was an interesting point that you bring up, Ryan, is the sheer fact that with the new jail rules basketball, he's somebody who's truly affected by that, because he is somebody who does like to drive, does like to draw contact, but has never truly gotten the calls on a consistent basis. So now, you know, that's why he's shooting jumpers late in the game. That's why he's taking three-pointers. That's why he's not attacking the basket, because he doesn't have the physical tools to truly draw the foul. And instead, he would just get bumped off of his spot mid-air, miss the shot, and look at the officials. He doesn't have a body type like a Jason Tatum, right? And that's the big debate everybody always has. Tatum or Booker? Tatum or Booker? Well, Tatum's ceiling is higher because of the physical intangibles that he has. The guy's like 6'8". He's built like a brick shit house, and he has length that allows him to get through and around defenders that Devin Booker doesn't have. Booker has to go over you, and he can because he's got an elite jump shot that he gets like at least 30 inches on his vertical. I mean, it's insane to see how high he jumps for his jump shot. So it's not necessarily Vogel. Even if you called a timeout and Vogel was to say, hey, I need you to go to the basket, Devin's like, dude, what's the point, man? I'm just going to get mauled and they won't get the call. So I think that he's somebody who, prior to jail rules basketball, wasn't getting a ton of fouls, even though he's been taking the ball to the cylinder a lot more this season. Matthew, do you think that he's somebody who is affected more by the fact that the fouls aren't going to be called and he's going to shy away from that, especially in late game situations?
Yeah, I think he's always had the frustration of just not getting to the free throw line, which is always hard to watch because he always had his ups and downs all season long of like getting to the rim, getting the calls, or, you know, that little pull up fadeaway jumper he has where he falls to the right, falls to the left.
Yeah.
Puts his arm out, gets the call. Like, that was always so inconsistent. So it's such a weird thing. I want to kind of go back too with the Kevin Durant stuff. You know, the free throw thing, his whole game, it has to change. Obviously, the best version that we saw of him this year, I think the last 4 games, is him kind of just playing off ball, just already being in his spots, not doing too much with the ball. and like having easier looking shots. Like that was, he was really, really feeding off of that and playing really good ball. When you ask too much of him, it's just too much for him to do right now. And I think going through it, like on the bench you mentioned before, where he has to kind of come down to earth a little bit, come down and just realize like, hey, like I am getting older. There's a lot to adjust to. A lot of these other guys can pick up the slack like Grayson Allen, and he has to just learn to deal with that. So I think that is more difficult than we think on him going forward. But yeah, the inconsistency has been really bad, especially with booking the free throw line, but the whole team, it's just like up and down this year with anything. Like we were so upset when they trained, when coming out of the All-Star break, the free throws, the disparity between before and after is so drastic where it's just like, damn, like this team was actually getting calls and stuff. And now they're just not going to. So they kind of fed off of that. Now it's just a team that has to rely on jump shooting. And that's what they have to do. It's going to be, you know, Booker getting to the rim at times, but then he might just be too tired and he might just think like, hey, we can beat the Spurs team with me just settling for these jumpers. But then they can't. They can't do that. It's just like kind of coming into this game thinking, oh, yeah, we'll beat this team without Victor. You just can't do that. You can't turn the switch on. And Beal did say that too, where you can't turn it on with this team. Because what turn what on? Like, there's nothing to turn on from what? From when? Like, how do you turn what? I don't even understand that part. So I think this team has a lot of frustrations with a lot of parts of the game, free throws being one. And I don't know. If we want to keep piling on it, I think that with Beal just kind of taking a back seat, being a facilitator and stuff too, I kind of thought like, oh, he can pick and choose his game. And he can come in, score if he needs to, you know, facilitate if he needs to. But then it's like tonight, before he got hurt, whatever, like 9 points, like the shooting was 4 of 11. Like that's going to be, oh my God, like in the playoffs, man, what is he going to score? Like maybe one game with 20 plus because he doesn't know what the fuck to do out there. So I don't even know. This is a Suns geek. I don't know if they answered your question, but there you go. That was a lot of shit.
Oh, word vomit. Ryan, any thoughts on any of that?
Sure. Yeah, actually. No, I mean, I think you hit it right on the nose. Like, I think that, like, to me, Beal, I think being hurt at the beginning of the year was like the worst possible thing for him, because as the season progresses and he comes back, I think he doesn't know where he fits in the system. And I don't, I mean, that's on Vogel, obviously, to get him involved and like run plays for him and have sets for him, which obviously doesn't happen. They almost want to just sit and hit the corner three, which is like, seriously? Like, this guy could score. Like, this guy, I mean, granted, he's Mr. Glass, but outside of that, that guy puts up points. He did in Washington for years. That's why that guy got paid, and he needs to he could do that for the Suns. He's shown it on certain nights when they need that, but they don't run sets for him. They don't run offense for him. I thought it was interesting because the Spurs jumped out on a lead, and then the second unit came in. Durant was on the bench, and it was mostly Booker, I think, sat too, and then Beal was running with the second unit, and that's when they came back and took the lead. I don't remember that exactly, but that's the period when he was like, oh, okay, now I can actually score here because they're expecting me to. And I think that's where he got his points. And then, the Suns took the lead, and that was kind of it. And then we didn't really hear from the rest of the game. But again, man, like I think that the Suns are so frustrating to watch because they have all the talent in the world. They don't know what to do with it. They don't take easy shots. They don't know how to create easy shots. And I know people are going to say that's a point guard thing, but I don't think it is with the team that just stands around and like, oh, here you go, Durant, it's your turn. Here you go, Booker, it's your turn. Here you go. Let's kick it to Beal in the corner. Maybe he gets a shot. Like, you got to run sets. You got to run offense. They don't move. They don't move the ball. And it's frustrating. But the second unit does. And I think that when they're in there moving the ball, they look fluid. Unfortunately, a lot of those guys don't hit shots consistently, so it doesn't always pan out the way you want it to. I guess that's kind of a response to what you were saying there with, Booker and Durant and so forth. So, going back to real quick, John, earlier when you talk about Booker and his size, I hear people say that all the time, but it's not about size. It's about creating contact. Booker doesn't drive and create contact. He drives and goes away from the contact, so he doesn't get the foul calls. You got to drive, man, sacrifice your body, lower shoulder, get in there, and you're not going to get every call.
He gets hurt, though, too.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of that. He avoids the contact and he shies away from it. And that, it frustrates me so much because I think he can take his game to his next level if he just lowered his shoulder and absorbed that contact and then followed through, you know? So I don't know.
I just think he's afraid of the contact because he's been hurt in the past. So he's going to try to, you know, he just doesn't have that skill, if you will. And John Tran's right. Booker just has to use his big dick to draw contact, and he doesn't. He puts his butt towards the defender, not his penis. And if he'd done the former, not the latter, maybe he'd have a little bit more success. So, gosh. What else do I have in my notes, man?
I do want to say I saw the comments here. They said Suns fourth quarter fall. It was actually the third quarter. The collapse was the third quarter today. So I don't know if that's expanding, but that ain't a good sign.
Well, it was both because we started out on like a 9-0. We let you guys go on a 9-0 run to start the fourth too. It's like just typical Sun shit where we just so disappointing, man.
Man, I'm sorry. Honestly, I appreciate you guys having me on here, and I know I'm trying not to talk too much yet because honestly, like, I feel for you guys because I was you once with the Jazz. I know how this feels.
You've won championships, though, dude.
Yeah, you have right. Five championships.
That was like 20 something years ago, man. I had 20 years of greatness. I feel great. You know, I feel good. I love watching my team rebuild. It's fun. You know, at this point.
Yeah. So, I don't like any of this, and like. He got caught for sex trafficking, so I don't even know what to believe in it anymore.
Yeah.
And nothing world left. I had the Suns and P. Diddy now.
It's one of them days. I guess the question I got to ask you guys is Batman or Kermit?
I like Batman.
I love Batman, but I think your Kermit is on point for sure.
I think this is – I'm kind of pissed off. This is a Batman kind of night.
All right.
The Suns Jam Session Subreddit Stakeout.
Roll. All right. Batman shirt. Yeah, okay. So stupid.
Where is she? Where are the Suns? Those fucking pieces of shit. They can't even beat those Spurs. What the goddamn hell? So here are some of the things that were said on the subreddit for the San Antonio Spurs. Oh, God. Look at that shitty graphic.
Hey, don't hate.
Look at that math equation. It says Spurs over the 1976 Phoenix Suns logo. That's nice.
Did you just make that up quick right now?
He was making it work.
Oh, nice, dude.
Put it up earlier.
I walked to his office at work today, and I'm like, what the fuck is – I'm like,
look at – you guys work together?
It was a just in case.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Remember you met him at Dave's?
Yes, yes, of course.
So here's some of the things that...
I keep forgetting where you work, John.
I'm a hobo. This is my job. So here's some of the things that were said on the subreddit for the San Antonio Spurs. And some of these, I have some questions for Ryan. I mean, you are technically... Like, I had to go in disguise as Batman on the subreddit. You can hang out there freely. You got a nice polo on. It's got the Spurs logo on it. That's at least an $80 shirt.
It is, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I priced them out before for the Suns, obviously. I still hate these unis. So tell me about the City Edition uniforms that the San Antonio Spurs were wearing tonight. And then, Matthew, I want to get your point of view on them.
So those unis are in a throwback represent to honor the 1968 World's Fair that San Antonio hosted. So that's kind of what that is. The Spurs became, I believe, 67. They became a franchise. And so it's just that. It's just a connection to the city. Like, you know, the Suns have – or Phoenix has all sports teams, right? You guys have got everybody at this point. The Spurs had the Spurs are the only team in town and were the only team in town for a long time. A couple of minor teams here or there. But so it's just that. The Spurs are like the lifeblood of that city. And so it's just a throwback to that. Personally, I like them. But for whatever reason, a lot of the fans, a lot of the home fans don't like them. One of my buddies, he thinks they're so stupid. So I don't know. I'm a fan personally.
Matthew, what do you think of the uniforms?
Yeah, I like them. I like them a lot. Anything's better than the gray. But yeah, hey, I definitely like them. As soon as I turn on the game, like, ooh, those pop. Nice.
I like the font that says San Antonio.
That's the worst part about it to me.
Getting punked by washed Nurkic. Little do they know. Bol Bol been in the league how many years and still hasn't even bulked up a tiny bit. He is still a twig. I know Phoenix just went on a 15-0 run, but I think the defense is quite good tonight.
Oh,
that was funny.
That turned out to be true.
Yeah, it ended up at the end. Suck a dick. Did Jeremy just call Nurkic a dickhead when fighting for that rebound? Jeremy is definitely being an instigator. Cut Nurk off after making fun of his blown layup, resulting in Nurk's ankle sprain. I will forever hate Jeremy Suck a Dick.
LMAO, Bull is so ass. These comparisons are fucking hilarious.
That's for all you people trying to say that he's wimby.
Yes, I guess exactly.
Shaq started that, right?
Yes. So I've got two here. This one's going to definitely spark a debate. Sorry, it's my throat.
Is Whataburger really as good as they say? I'm from the East Coast. All I know is Cookout and Shack and Shake Shack.
And then somebody responded,
it's too expensive for the gamble. If it's good, it's one of the best fast food burgers out there. When it's not, you're getting a cold patty and cheese, mushy lettuce, and a flavorless liquid that is most likely human saliva in at least one bite.
So I have this debate with Ryan at work because he's a Whataburger guy and I'm an In-N-Out guy. So after hearing that, Ryan, what do you feel about that summation? That's too expensive for the gamble that it can't be the best burger or it might taste like human saliva and mushy lettuce.
I feel like this comment wasn't in the stakeout, but
I will share my screen.
I believe you. I believe you.
Hold That's on, crazy. Right back. Right.
Oh no, he's gonna go. Yeah, well, he came in my office the other day with.
You have leftovers right now.
Water. He's got a Whataburger shirt. Oh my god, it says Wembanyama on it. That's
awesome.
You should have wore that tonight. Oh, we didn't play.
I actually wore this shirt to a Suns game, and they were like, "Oh, look at you, Whataburger, Whataburger!" And then they caught it. The Suns fans caught it. Said Wimby, and they were like. Oh, it was really funny.
That's pretty genius.
I can't hate Whataburger when you get it. Well, first off, it's better in the homeland. Here in Phoenix, it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's trash. I'll admit that. Occasionally, you get it really good. But back in Texas, it's just superior in every way, and it's usually really good there. Here, not so much.
Yeah, Whataburger has the best patty melt I've ever had in my life.
Oh, it's freaking
delicious.
Legit.
It's what Jerry Jones eats. So I guess if it's good enough for Jerry Jones,
that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And then the last comment for subreddit stakeout,
the Suns are truly and utterly pathetic. Some things never change.
The Suns jam session subreddit stakeout. There you go. I saw that statement in my heart. Oh, my heart, it hurt. Oh, my heart, it hurt. All right, so let's get out some hardware.
Jam star of the game.
Real quick, equipment manager, fallen founder in the chat, host of the Suns Planet podcast says, oh, please, Culver's is the best. Tell me you're from Iowa without telling me you're from Iowa. Culver's, Wisconsin. It's like, come get our was it custard that they have?
Cheese curds are pretty good.
I've got a Culver's that I could walk to, and I've lived here for 5 years. I've been there once because it was nasty the time I had it. So sorry, maybe in the heartland of Iowa, in Iowa, it's delicious. Where after you're done, you can grab a corn stalk and pick your teeth with their fallen founder. But so that's the question. Jamstar the game, In-N-Out or Whataburger or Culver's? I vote In-N-Out.
I mean, clearly the answer is Sohan, right? That's clearly the answer. He dominated the shit out of you guys today. Like, that's the answer. Just give it to the guy who deserves
Sohan.
It.
Sohan. Who is that?
He's the suck a dick guy.
Oh, suck a dick. I know who that
yeah.
is.
He injured two Suns tonight, okay? He was like the Los Angeles Rams taking out Cardinals quarterbacks.
Was Nurkic wearing book ones?
No, he was wearing the KD's? Purple. Yeah, he was wearing the white KDs that had the orange.
I'm so sick of
these
fucking shoes. Everyone's just all about the shoes, and all I do is see these ankles twisted in them, dude. It just drives me fucking nuts.
KD's, KD 16s that he was wearing tonight were amazing, dude. They had like the gradient on them from the valley. Oh,
they were nice. Really? Okay.
Yeah, but
they
were
nice. Yeah, they are.
Always twisting ankles. That's all we do.
I don't get it.
All the...
Greasy. So clearly Ryan's going for...
twisted ankles.
Jeremy, twist an ankle, suck a dick. Matthew, who are you going to give it to?
I'm going to give it to In-N-Out. I think In-N-Out by a little bit. I love Whataburger with my mom. That's the only time I ever go because she loves Whataburgers. But hey, I'll meet you at Whataburger.
Well, that's because she's from Texas.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, Matthew, we just became tight. We just became tight.
Well, Patty Melts are the best, but if I'm like gonna Marilla. Cheat, like have a really big cheat meal or something like that,
I do
In-N-Out. I go to In-N-Out. In-N-Out's top of the list.
2 2x4s and animal style fries and a strawberry shake if I really hate myself.
Oh, dude, yeah. So by far the best meal. Best Patty Melt.
They'll put the strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate all in one.
Is that what they do? Whataburger? Neapolitan?
Yeah.
At Whataburger, they do that?
No, they do that at In-N-Out.
What? Okay. I've never asked for that.
Secret menu, baby. Secret menu.
Strawberry's the best, though. I'll just go with that.
I can't wait till this weekend. I'll get like...
I can't wait till this weekend? It's like fucking Monday. It's like, today's Monday and the sun sucks. Yeah, I can't wait for the weekend.
Sarah Tran in the chat. How many times did John say suck a dick on this pod? Enough to get me canceled. I'm going to give it to Q4 Book. he was amazing in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant really had a good game. We didn't talk about it. I mean, he had a bad fourth quarter. Ultimately, when you look at his overall shooting numbers, KD was 2 of 6 in the fourth and 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. But overall, he was 12 of 17. He didn't shoot in the first quarter and still ended 12 of 17 for 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Great game from KD. A couple untimely turnovers, but so did Devin Booker. But Devin Booker is the one who literally – try to put this team on his back because we got within 3, then boom, we were down by like 9 in no time. Devin Booker got us all the way back, but go figure, Spurs win. So next up for the Phoenix Suns, Denver Nuggets.
Win. All right, that's just the way this team is. We'll probably
win. You're probably not wrong.
Here we go. We won. 9 more left. What are we going to do? Are the Suns, what seed are we going to finish in? Who cares?
Well, I'm gonna talk about the playoffs here momentarily. Okay. But I will say that the remaining strength of schedule for the Phoenix Suns, let's do a little trivia time.
Yes. You know what time it is.
Trivia time.
All right, trivia time. The Phoenix Suns have 10 opponents left. I'm going to allow you both an opportunity to guess what the opposing winning percentage is for those 10 teams.
.721
from Matthew.
.743.
So it's .648. Okay. Which you look at the team with the second hardest schedule remaining. That's Charlotte, and it's .595. So it's 50 points more than the team behind him. If you go on to tankathon.com, and you know, I probably should be able to present my screen here. Let's see, go share screen. For all the people listening, just so you know, I'm sharing my screen now. And you can see the strength of schedule remaining for the Suns. And if I zoom in, you can see that it shows the toughest opponents, and next to easiest opponents, it's blank. There's nothing there. It's simply just, you know, we've got Denver once, OKC. Minnesota twice, Clippers twice, Pelicans twice, and Cleveland once. Every team we play from here on out is a pain in the asshole. So that being said, if we go to NBA.com and we check out the good old standings page, we can take a look at where the Suns ultimately end. Let's see. Oh, here's my jammy tracker, just in case you guys were wondering where that is.
John, are you telling us what I think you're saying? Are you saying the Suns might not make the playoffs?
No, they'll make the playoffs. I'm not worried about that.
Unfortunately, they'll make the play-in at least. So,
so with the loss tonight, they drop down from 6th to 8th place. They are in a 3-way tie with the Sacramento Kings, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns do play the Sacramento Kings one more time, second to last game of the season. And as you can see, if you look around the Western Conference and all the teams right around us, all of them are on winning streaks right now. They have all got 2 wins, 3. Dallas are on a 3-game winning streak. Suns, of course, are on a 1-game losing streak. Which is why. Now, that being said, if they were to not make the playoffs, I don't think that's literally possible now, because the Houston Rockets are in the 11th seed. They're 14 games out of first place. The Suns are 8.5. So that's what, 5.5 or 6.5?
Man. Yeah, but all they got to do is make the play-in game. All they need is the 10th seed, right? And the Suns can fall out. I don't know what 4 games difference there. I didn't see this, but I don't know. I don't like your chances right now. You guys play a tough schedule. You play a champion, or you guys play playoff basketball teams, and you guys are not playing playoff basketball.
And you're totally, that's it right there. That's all it is. It's like, we keep thinking, we're like, no, there's no way they're going to fall out of the playoffs, right? The play-in. What makes us think that we're going to stay in it? Like, the Houston Rockets team is just getting their 9-game win streak. Obviously, they might not be able to keep that up. But, like, I feel like that's more plausible than the Suns missing the playoffs. So, I don't know.
So here's where I stand on this. And yes, we play some unbelievably tough competition upcoming. But the advantage of playing tough competition is every time if we can get a win in those games, it does two things. It moves you closer, and it moves you closer to them. We play the Pelicans twice. We're 2.5 games away from the Pelicans. The Pelicans are without Brandon Ingram now. In a week and a half, he's going to be reevaluated. And I'll tell you what, if you look at that leg injury, did not look the same. Because of his injury, now granted they're on a 2-game win streak, but it's going to change who they are. The point Zion's not going to exist. Now again, the schizophrenic Suns, you don't know what you're going to get night to night. But let's say you go 2-0 against the Pelicans. You're getting 2 games closer to that overall fifth seed. We play the Clippers twice. You know, and they're a team that's been going through it recently as well without Russell Westbrook. They're a team that a lot of fans are having issues with because, you know, of that franchise, because they too are playing like the Suns, where you don't know what they are night to night. They mail it in defensively sometimes. They have amazing offensive players, but because of the fact that they mail it in defensively, they're hoping that, like the Suns, they can flip a switch in the postseason. But you play them twice, so there's an opportunity to gain on them. You play Minnesota again, you play Denver again, you play Oklahoma City again, you play Sacramento. We play every team that's ahead of us in the standings but the Dallas Mavericks at least one more time this season. So that's my case. This team isn't going to go 0-10. The Phoenix Suns are too I see you, Ryan. I see you kind of side-eyeing me, but I don't think that the Suns will go – if they go 5-5 in their next games and you start to put who they'd have to beat to do that, they're at least going to be in the 6 or 7 seed. That's a fact. The goal, in my opinion, is if you can go 6-4 in your final 10, if the Suns can go 6-4, knowing that they have of their last 10 games, 6 of them are on the road, 4 of them are at home. If they can go 6-4, they could be a 6th or potentially 5th seed based on who they beat. So the Suns will, if they go 6-4, not have to worry about the play-in, in my opinion. If it goes the other way, if they go 4-6, yeah, we're hosting a play-in game or we're on the road for a play-in game. And at that point, just kill me.
Okay, so I did last pod. I thought we would go 7-4 the remaining 11 games, but I thought we would actually cruise to an easy victory against the Spurs. I'm like, if that doesn't happen, then I don't know what. I'm like, if the Suns can kill the Spurs the next game like they did the last one, then yeah, there's a chance we go 11-4 7-4 to finish the season and maybe move up to the 6th or 5th spot. Now I'm just like, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think this team's given up. I know the whole Clippers thing where they kind of look in and out, like, but I feel like that's a team
that I love in and out.
That's a team that can turn on because defensively, I think they're there when they want to be. The Pelicans, yeah. I mean, with Ingram, his injury, he might not even play the first round, maybe not till the 2nd or 3rd round if they make it that far. And anybody could beat the Kings right now. So it's possible, but it's just, it doesn't matter, man, because there's other teams out there like the Thunder, like the Wolves and the Nuggets, who the Suns just can't get past. And I'm sick of trying to think of like, oh, yeah, give us the opportunity. No, we've had the opportunity. And I don't want to watch these next 10 games, dude. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be massacre for sure.
All right, perfect. Ryan, put on a Sun shirt.
You're coming hey, up. John, what's that nifty strength of schedule or Tankapalooza's site or whatever?
Tankathon.
What about the Lakers and the Warriors? Where are they at on that?
Because those are the guys you need to be above. On strength of schedule? Yeah. So Golden State is 13th. The Lakers are 14th. Oh, sorry. I don't think I'm looking at the right thing. Hold on.
Remains strength of schedule,
yeah.
Because those are the teams that you have to worry about. Those are
But here you go. Sacramento has the 3rd toughest remaining strength of schedule. New Orleans has the 4th most. Oklahoma City has the 6th most. Right? The Clippers have the 9th most. To your point, the Lakers 23rd. Golden State, I must have looked right over them, is 26th. They've got a game against the Spurs, a game against the Hornets, a game against the Blazers, and 2 against the Jazz. But Golden State's on a slide, though, right now. Like, if I was Golden State, I'd be worried about the Rockets catching me because they've really fallen apart.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to get at. Like, I think the teams that you guys have to worry about are the Lakers and Golden State because you need to stay above them to make it in. And you're right, though. You're right about the other teams might fall down, too. Like, the Pelicans are going to probably fall. You know, I think Sacramento's fool's gold. I love watching them play, but man, they cannot close out games. And I think that if they have a tough schedule left, they could fall into the playing game very easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be an interesting close to the season. I mean, this is the best time of year. I mean, we got March Madness basketball. We got ramping up for playoff NBA basketball. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I know not maybe for you guys, cause you guys are rooting for it, but when I don't have a team that's going to make it anyways, I don't care. I just like watching basketball.
No, you know what? I mean, if the Suns don't make it, if they actually get kicked in the first round of the play-in, I'm still going to watch. Like, I still want to enjoy basketball. Like, I'm going to be glad the Suns are done. Like, I don't want to put up with that shit anymore. I'm going to watch other games. I'll be okay with it this year. I think last year was so draining, and like losing to the Nuggets in the second round, I was like, dude, I'm just done with basketball. But right now, my mindset is just like, I kind of want to watch the playoffs and think, see how things like pan out. And I can't wait for the Spurs to be in the second round next year against the Suns and just probably sweep us. I can't wait for that. So,
oh, that'd be great. I would love that as well. I appreciate that.
On that note, Jamsters, we're going to go ahead and get the fuck out of here.
Hold on. Can I make some shout outs real quick? Can I do some shout outs?
Please.
I just want to shout out my Final Four crew.
Hold on. I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me do my thing. I've done this. This is my 586th time. So this is a reminder, everybody who's watching along live, please subscribe, rate, and review. Hit that thumbs up button if you're watching now or later. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars and then write a review. We'll read it here on the pod. And if you're on Spotify, we'll give you 5 stars. You can give us 5 stars. We'll give you 5 stars. You can read my writing. My name is John Voight at brightsideofthesun.com and follow me at Darth Voight. You can follow Matthew. And you can follow the show at Suns Jam. Ryan, let everyone know where they can follow you. And if there's any shout outs, now is the time.
My apologies for stepping over that in a second ago, but I just want to shout out my Final Four crew, my buddies, Ramiro, Alex, Hank, Misty Oak Legends. I just want to say what's up. Looking forward to hanging out with you guys in a couple weeks. That's all I got.
I know.
I wish I had friends to shout out.
I want to shout out my dog Laney, my cat Smudge, Franklin, the tortoise in the back.
I can shout out Suns legend, Robert Horry, a.k.a. Big Shot Bob. A.K.A.
That was easy. Matthew. There's no love for Robert Horry on this podcast. Matthew, tell me.
Yeah, that was tough. All right, go home, love your family, everybody.